Now the single face of the mob, that look of glazed and mindless eagerness, began to break apart. The man with the hammer abruptly tossed his weapon aside and ran for it, limping extravagantly on a pair of arthritis-twisted legs. He was followed by two others. The rest of them milled uncertainly in the street.
"Come on, you deuces!"
a relatively young man snarled. He wore his blue scarf around his throat like a rally racer's ascot. He was bald except for two fluffs of frizzy red hair, one on each side of his head. To Susanna, this fellow looked like Clarabelle the Clown. To Eddie, he looked like Ronald McDonald. To both of them, he looked like trouble. He threw a homemade spear that might have started life as a steel table leg. It clattered harmlessly into the street to Eddie and Susanna's right.
"Come on, I say! We can get him if we all stick together!"
"Sorry, guy," Eddie murmured, and shot him in the chest. Clarabelle Ronald staggered backward, one hand going to his shirt. He stared at Eddie with huge eyes that told his tale with heartbreaking clarity. This wasn't supposed to happen. The hand dropped heavily to the young man's side. A single runlet of blood, incredibly bright in the gray day, slipped from the corner of his mouth. The few remaining pubes stared at him mutely as he slipped to his knees, and one of them turned to run.
"Not at all," Eddie said. "Stay put, my retarded friend, or you're going to get a good look at the clearing where your path ends."
He raised his voice. "Drop 'em, boys and girls, all of 'em, now!"
"You," the dying man whispered, "you gunslinger?"
"That's right," Eddie said. His eyes surveyed the remaining pubes grimly.
"Cry your pardon,"
the man with the frizzy red hair gasped, and then he fell forward onto his face.
"Gunslingers?"
one of the others asked. His tone was one of dawning horror and realization.
"Well, you're stupid, but you ain't deaf," Susanna said, "and that's something anyway."
She waggled the barrel of the gun, which Eddie was quite sure was empty. For that matter, how many rounds could be left in the Ruger? He realized he didn't have any idea how many rounds the clip held, and cursed himself for a fool. But had he really believed it could come to something like this? He didn't think so.
"You heard him, folks. Drop 'em. Recess is over."
One by one, they complied. The woman who was wearing a pint or so of Mr. Sword and Kilt's blood on her face said,
"You shouldn't have killed Winston, missus. 'Twas his birthday, so it was."
"Well, I guess he should have stayed home and eaten some more birthday cake," Eddie said. Given the overall quality of this experience, he didn't find either the woman's comment or his own response at all surreal. There was one other woman among the remaining pubes, a scrawny thing whose long blonde hair was coming out in big patches as if she had the mange. Eddie observed her sidling toward the dead dwarf and the potential safety of the overgrown arches beyond him and put a bullet into the cracked cement close by her foot. He had no idea what he wanted with her, but what he didn't want was one of them giving the rest of them ideas. For one thing, he was afraid of what his hands might do if the sickly, sullen people before him tried to run. Whatever his head thought about this gunslinging business, his hands had discovered they liked it just fine. "Stand where you are, beautiful. Officer Friendly says play it safe." He glanced at Susanna and was disturbed by the grayish quality of her complexion. "Suze, you all right?" he asked in a lower voice.
"Yes."
"You're not going to faint or anything, are you? Because no." She looked at him with eyes so dark they were like caves.
"It's just that I never shot anyone before, okay?"
"Well, you better get used to it," rose to his lips. He bit it back and returned his gaze to the five people who remained before them. They were looking at him and Susanna with a species of sullen fear, which nevertheless stopped well short of terror. "Shit, most of them have forgotten what terror is," he thought. "Joy, sadness, love, same thing. I don't think they feel much of anything anymore. They've been living in this purgatory too long." Then he remembered the laughter, the excited cries, the lounge-act applause, and revised his thinking. There was at least one thing that still got their motors running, one thing that still pushed their buttons. Spanker could have testified to that. "Who's in charge here?" Eddie asked. He was watching the intersection behind the little group very carefully in case the others should get their courage back. So far, he saw and heard nothing alarming from that direction. He thought that the others had probably left this ragged crew to its fate. They looked at each other uncertainly, And finally, the woman with the blood-spattered face spoke up.